So today I'm going to talk about my favorite Isai sonata. So Isai wrote a set of six sonatas in the 20s, I believe, so 100 years ago. And he wrote this collection very specifically based on Bach's violin sonatas and partitas, which were obviously like the main large work for solo violin before then. And that aspect of the piece is very interesting because most pieces for violin, regardless of how virtuosic they are written for violin and piano or violin and some other accompaniments. Like, it's all well and good to show the violin having some very large technical skill, and a lot of these pieces do, undoubtedly, in all of history, but there have been very few pieces that have managed to create an engaging musical narrative using just the violin, while also being extremely virtuosic in nature and very hard to accomplish. And Isai does that very well. And I think in this sonata specifically, he does it the best out of all of them. And also, he wrote this for Spanish violinist and composer Manuel Quiroga. And as well as taking Quiroga's specific style into consideration when writing it, he also took Sarasate's pieces into consideration and also Quiroga's, but I wasn't able to find any of Quiroga's pieces for the purposes of this specific episode, and that's what makes it so Spanish in style. But again, Sarasate mainly wrote extremely difficult works for the violin, but also works that had piano accompaniments or orchestral accompaniments. And you get pieces that are extremely difficult by him, obviously, like the introduction in Tarantella, which is an amazing work that I love. But at the same time, it would sound a lot emptier if it were just the violin and it didn't have the piano accompaniment. It's like I said a few weeks ago when I did my episode on the Amy Beach Piano Concerto, because in that piece, there are several instances where she has the piano play by itself. And because of the textural range and potential of the piano, you're allowed to do that in ways that you can't really get away with for any other instruments, because it's a lot more difficult to create multiple voices on an instrument like the violin, which is why you only really see that in like extremely difficult works for the violin, like The Last Rose of Summer or Der Erlkönig. And the Isai sonatas are no exception, but I think this sonata is particularly good at managing to create such an atmosphere, to the point where, honestly, there are a lot of similarities that I can draw to piano works. And for this reason, I'm going to be talking about Isai 6 in comparison to a piano work by a composer like Liszt, because that's genuinely really interesting to do. So, first of all, as is probably quite clear, this piece has a ternary form that's quite similar to that of a Liszt piano work, like, I don't know, the Mephisto Waltz, in that there's an introduction, a fast A section, a slower middle section, and then a bridge section that travels to the reprise of the fast A section. And I think that's extremely interesting that he uses that form, because there aren't really that many violin pieces that also use that form. Like, if you look at a violin sonata, then, like, you do get a contrast in sections because you kind of have to have one in order to create interest, but you don't get as much of a contrast. This is much more of a piano thing, which is super interesting considering that I can't actually find any evidence that this is based on piano works. And one thing that both Liszt and Sarasate do is they have extremely virtuosic pieces, but the virtuosity comes almost secondary to the melody, discounting all of Liszt's cadenzas, obviously. But, like, for example, in the first Mephisto waltz, the theme is based mainly on fifths, and the fact that there's so much to do with balancing is a detail that the pianist needs to factor into account, but also they need to specifically bring out that section because it is a piece about the melody. And Sarasate Introduction in Tarantella is a piece that's almost entirely based on the opening chord progression that we see pop up so often, and then every single instance of the Tarantella after that is kind of has some sort of a throwback to that original chord progression, because again, it's taking musical ideas into account, and this piece is no exception. Like, the themes in the A section have the opening phrase establishing the habanera cell, then it has a pentatonic scale that was established just a few bars prior in the introduction as kind of a call forward type of thing, then it ends on an imperfect cadence, and then it creates a consequence of that phrase, then creates more of a variation on it immediately after, which is slightly more virtuosic to, because it's a repetition, of course. The piece even opens in this manner. Like, the very first chord of the entire piece is a B open fifth underneath an A open fifth, which tells us almost immediately that this piece truly cares about the technique. It's not even beginning the piece with something really difficult to play like the ballad. It's making that motif and then immediately elaborating on it by putting a G at the top and then going into the chordal arpeggiated idea. And I think that's especially interesting because some of Izai's other works do the opposite, like the ballad. That has a very long introduction that has very little to do with the rest of the piece. Like, yes, that piece starts off with an arpeggio that uses a really cool and fun and interesting variation on the augmented triad, but do we actually properly see that again? No, not really. And then the B section comes along and it brings out the habanera theme even more by having that theme all throughout it, even though it was a lot more subtle in the introduction. And I think it's interesting how the habanera theme, like, becomes gradually more and more evident as the piece goes on. It's like the opposite of building on an idea, like deconstructing an idea, I guess. And I think that's really clever. Also, that section starts off with a subdominant pedal, and I think that's really lovely. Like, what a good way to bring this section of the piece into A major. Also, the harmony of this section is so good. Like, it starts off in A major, then it goes into C major multiple times, and also it is just direct modulations most of the time. Just going down a half step and then having the same double stop there instead, and just having a descending arpeggio and then landing in a new key, and I think that's really special. It's very similar to how the cadenza of the Sibelius concerto works, in that it's very explicitly virtuosic, but boy does it tell a story along the way, and it's genuinely very effective as a D section. Like, kind of reminds me of the B section of the Faust waltz as written by Liszt. Also, this section does have very openly virtuosic bits, but much more sporadically, and it puts much more of a focus on the double stops, which is more of a low-key difficult thing to do, like in the ballad. That's one of the things that I appreciate about the ballad. And then it has the fast-running passages that again reminded me of the end of the Sibelius concerto, but also somewhat of the second sonata, which is not one I'm particularly a fan of, but it is still very effective in that way. Also, by having the original melody be mainly on the G string, it very much creates an extremely evident timbral difference from the A section, thereby kind of giving the effects of, I don't know, if this were a Liszt piece, it would be a unicorda bit or something. And then finally, the bridge section starts off with a completely straight habanera passage, and it's barely recognizable as part of the piece. It's like, wow, we just stepped into a completely different easy piece instead that has a 2-bar plus 2-bar plus 4-bar structure and has the harmony of fifths and thirds, which is the thing that's mainly at focus. And it's so relevant to the structure of the piece and manages to really effectively go back to the A section, and it's so well made and also really difficult, and I love that. And also, despite the fact that I've been comparing this so much to a piece by Liszt or whatever, like, this structure is very similar to the Mephisto-Walsh structure, which is extremely interesting in my opinion, but also, I don't think that this piece could have been written for any instrument other than the violin, because the techniques at hand in that piece are so specifically difficult to the violin. Like, there's the bit at the start of the bridge section, and that bit is not nearly as effective if it were on, like, the piano or something, because we've had all these majestic double stops and arpeggios, and now we just start the new section with the straight habanera melody taking place with basically a perfect fourth. And imagine if that were on the piano. Either you would have to play it by itself, which would not work and would sound pretty pathetic actually, or you would have to add like a chord underneath it in which it loses its aim. And by contrast, if you were to play this piece on the flute or whatever, it would lose the fact that we've just had a trill over the top of a drone, which is something that's very difficult to do on the flute. And like, it is possible to do on the flute, but it wouldn't be suitable for something that would happen all throughout the piece like it would do for the violin. And I think it's very special in how that piece is so specific to the violin and so heavily based on Sarasate's repertoire and has such a good understanding of what the instrument's limits are, but also what the limits are to push. And the one piece that I did find that was written by Quiroga was a cadenza for Mozart's fifth violin concerto, which obviously is not the ideal thing to judge in this specific situation, but I found it very interesting how the melody of the piece was built into the virtuosity, and the virtuosity did not come sporadically outside of the melody, and how well that reflects this piece. And honestly, it's shocking that Quiroga never played it in real life, because if I had the technical ability to play this piece that someone has written for me that's amazing and the best sonata that he ever wrote, then I would play it. This piece is amazing. It's so detailed and well constructed, and the fact that it still manages to be reportedly the hardest of all of the Izai sonatas, while still being as openly difficult and virtuosic as it is a real testament to both Izai as a violinist and his understanding of his instruments, and also his compositional technique, as well as, of course, the amount of research he did on Bach's sonatas and partitas, which many of them do much the same thing, especially his fugues. And I think that's why this piece is so amazing. Thank you for listening.